I'm sorry for the interruption of your usual viewing. And please don't try to change channels.
This is Rush to Reason. Ta-da! With John Rush.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Well, we have something to aspire to then.
And Dan Muir.
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
Discussing the issues that matter to you.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men.
Finding real answers, using logic and reason.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I get it. I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. But that was awesome.
Let's do this.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, our last hour of the week. So give us a call, anything you want to talk about, 303-477-5600. And I'm your host this hour, this final hour of the week, Andy Pate, Party of Choice with us. And we're going to just kick off this hour talking to Bruce from Westminster. We left that last hour talking about how do we win in the state of Colorado as conservatives. Bruce, welcome. What's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, Andy. Great conversation, and that's really what got me to call, because you've really put your finger right on the point of it. And in the Republican Party, we have to come to grips with it. And the biggest divisive issue is life.
Okay.
Okay. And the problem is that the majority of the people in the state, and remember, when we get elected to govern.
True.
And one of the responsibilities of governing is making sure that everyone in our state can have enough space to live their lives the way they see fit.
True.
Right? Okay. And when we make the life issue a litmus test for our candidates, we're never going to govern the state again.
So I follow where you're going, but for everybody listening, give me an example.
So give me an example
of somebody that would be a great candidate that's not pro-life, that's a pro-choice candidate.
Well, generally, the mainstream Republican Party calls them the most abusive, dismissive terms you can imagine. Rhino, squish.
Yeah, but I'm asking for names. Give me a specific name, even somebody that's ran in the past that would have made a great candidate that you think would have even won, even though they were a pro-choice candidate.
Well, right off the top of my head, I really can't figure one out. But it's an issue that I've raised in Westminster.
Okay.
Because I sent out a letter to all the PCPs and, well, the leadership in the party, because I basically pointed out four issues. And I live in a heavily Democrat voting district.
Okay.
Okay. And if we run a stereotypical candidate, they will lose by at least 10 points, maybe 12.
Okay.
Okay. So we need to choose from our ranks a person who shares the respect other people's choices. And in life, this is a very big issue. You remember the assisted suicide,
mm-hmm.
and that passed 2-1, didn't
mm-hmm.
it? Okay, and most of the hardcore pro-life people were just incensed with that, weren't they?
Well, I was against it. I didn't get incensed when it passed because I kind of figured that it would, because I don't think, like Amendment 64, I don't think people really realized what they were voting for.
Well, I think the voters are pretty well informed.
Well, I had a couple yesterday when I asked, or did you regret voting for 64 now that you've seen the results? And I had some people call in and actually admit that, yes, they'd made a mistake. So, no, Bruce, you and I are going to disagree on this one. There are times where I think people vote based upon ads, based upon emotion, based upon unfactual things that are thrown their way, and they really don't know what they're getting themselves into when they vote for something because they're sheep.
But sheep get to vote, John, right?
I know. They do. You are right in that.
We have to recognize that. And if we're going to be happy with only winning Congressional District 4 and 5, that's a pretty dark future.
Okay.
But if we're going to
I can't disagree with you on that one. Go ahead, Andy.
Bruce, let me agree with you a little bit here. Okay,
thanks,
so,
Andy.
By the way, I know it's going to hurt. You'll get over it. Drink heavily after I do this. Okay?
Go ahead, Andy.
If we look at your district, you make a good point, right? Let's say, and let's say on abortion in your district that it's 70-30 again, for the pro-choice versus pro-life. And I don't know your district that well, but let's say it's like that. And we put up a hardcore pro-life candidate. You're right. We can't win. Am I correct?
Correct.
Right. Because even if you, because I believe you've always been more of a pro-choice guy. I'm pro-life.
I am a pro-choice guy.
Right.
Because.
No. That's fine. But don't run on yet, because I want to stay on this thought. What if we instead go to that district and you have people like me, pro-lifers like me, approaching people and saying, look, I support every choice as long as it doesn't take away someone else's choice. Okay, so our only disagreement is on when another person's choice is in play, right? And Bruce, I would say it's conception. You would say it's much later than that. And so our only disagreement is on the science of when that life begins, correct? But we can find a lot of agreement in the meantime. I doubt you would be for a late-term abortion.
I absolutely am.
Okay, well, that's unusual. Okay, but not many people are. Okay, and we could have that debate. But if I come to you and say, look, I'm for choice, I'm just not for choice that takes away someone else's choice, our only disagreement is on when that is, can we at least agree to this? I don't hate babies, and I don't hate women, and you don't hate babies. Can we agree to that much?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but why don't we just look at, if we look at your district, we can say, look, and I would say to the pro-choice movement in your district, because I'm one of them, I would say, guys, pro-life movement. I would say to the pro-life movement, I would say, guys, I'm one of you, but you understand that there are like 10, 12 different big issues, right? If you can't sell this one, but you have somebody who agrees with you on a number of other issues that you can sell in your district, why not do that? And then, in the meantime, try and win more people to your point of view on abortion. In the meantime, rather than trying to shove someone down their throats that they simply won't vote for and guaranteeing that we're going to lose on immigration, taxes, and everything else, would you say that's acceptable?
I mean, the problem is, Andy, is that when we talk to pro-life people, they say because of a pro-life stance, you do hate women, and they can't even make the first agreement. And let me use another topic that I think will illuminate the point I want to make. Okay? I don't think any of the three of us are pro of the homosexuality, are we?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
But we've decided it's not the government's business.
Right.
Even though if we had a chance, I think every one of us would try to persuade a person, and it could be based on practical things, it could be based on our moral background, it could be based on a lot of things. But it belongs in the moral sphere, not in the government sphere. And I think the same situation applies with pregnancy or babies.
No.
Or a mother's reproductive choices.
No, totally disagree. And here is why. Because homosexuality is the choice of the individual. Your choice is not taking away someone else's choice. Whereas, at least I would argue, And there are people who believe that in the case of abortion, your choice is removing somebody else's choice. And that is the difference here. You're talking about a sexual choice. I'm talking about a choice that, in my opinion, kills. Now, by the way, also, you assume that women are just going to assume and hate me for my pro-life view. But that hasn't been the case for me, because I go to them and say, look, I'm pro-life, but I love the reason you're pro-choice. You don't want the government telling a woman what to do with her body. I agree. I just don't want one person's choice taking away someone else's.
And
so we disagree on when that applies.
One last thing. I got to run, Bruce. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. One last thing. I also don't want to be the guy paying for it.
Exactly.
That's
my
biggest.
I don't want to pay for your abortion.
Thank you. I don't want my tax dollars going to pay for that. So we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Great conversation, by the way, Bruce. Thanks for calling. I always appreciate when you do. It's always a great dialogue. 303-477-5600 is our phone number. Extreme Automotive is coming up next. I should say Extreme Auto Repair coming up next in the heart of Parker. Anything you need for your vehicle, they would love to help you out, and they will respect you and your wallet and your vehicle and your time and everything else that it takes to get your vehicle repaired or maintained. 303-841-1071 is the phone number. Give them a call today, and when you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
At Extreme Auto Repair, Dennis Brewster and his team respect your wallet. Other shops will go ahead and replace your belts only to let you know afterward that your transmission is shot. Oops, that was a waste of money. Every time you go to Extreme Auto Repair, even for something as simple as an oil change, Dennis and his team complete a comprehensive check for no extra cost. Dennis doesn't want to scare you. He simply understands that you can't make an informed decision unless you know the condition of your vehicle. Otherwise, you run the risk of spending money on the wrong repairs. The longer you wait, the more expensive those problems will become. So Dennis and his team respect your wallet by letting you know early. Extreme Auto Repair helps you prioritize which repairs need immediate attention so you save money in the long term. Take it from John Rush and all of us at KLZ. Head to Parker today for Extreme Auto Repair, where you decide how to spend your money.
At Larry's Auto, they're happy to help you however they can so you can keep your car on the road for as long as possible. They do everything from new wiper blades to full transmission replacement. At Larry's Auto, they're ready to help you do anything to help you maintain and repair your car. Give Larry's a call today at 303-427-2108. That's 303-427-2108.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, your host. Andy Pate, party of choice with us, and we've got about 40 minutes left of the show. Anything you'd like to add to today's comments, or it's open line, so anything you want to talk about, doesn't matter what it is, you're welcome to call in, 303-477-5600. Hugo Chavez Ray calling in next, and you are head of the, Hispanic Republican. Am I saying that right?
Colorado Hispanic Republic.
There we go. I knew I'd butcher it somehow, but welcome, Hugo. Well, I should say welcome back. You've been with us before, so welcome.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, Hugo. Thanks for joining us. So talk to us about your debate coming up.
Okay. First of all, it's not a debate. It's a forum.
Okay. Whoa. So for those of us that are uneducated, what's the difference?
Well, a debate would indicate or would entertain back and forth between the candidates.
Okay.
A forum is more of a, I believe, an introductory type platform where all the candidates present get equal time to answer questions that we've developed.
Okay.
So they won't be throwing things.
They won't be going back and forth like we've seen in other presidential debates.
Yeah, no shoe throwing and none of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a forum. And if you guys have been keeping up, of course, there's some controversy about the announcement of the candidates and a sponsor, and we went back and forth.
Yeah, so explain all that, if you would, real quick, for those, because I've gotten some emails along those lines, so please explain.
Yeah, well, we started off with inviting all the candidates. We got back response of six. Apparently, through some snafu, Tom Tancredo's email was an old one that we had on file, and it ended up not being one. So,
okay.
At any rate, and then in that interim, we obtained a sponsor who wanted to put it's a good friend of the organization, has been for years, and has been financially supportive, and wanted to support this forum on the condition that we didn't invite Tom or didn't include Tom into
okay.
So then, of course, that created a firestorm. Everybody jumping off the cliff to, you know, wondering why we could exclude, blah, blah, blah. And one thing led to another. Jeff Hayes got involved, and then Ray Garcia, and they understood, but they proposed an alternative saying that what if we could find another sponsor that would replace that sponsor. I said we would check. The original sponsors agreed that if we had an alternative sponsor, that they would back off and they okay. didn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
So, Ray Garcia led the charge, I guess, so to speak, and raised the funds. And we changed the sponsor and included Tom in the lineup.
Okay.
So that's where we are right now. The event is scheduled for January 18th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you broke up for just a second, Hugo. January what?
January 17th.
Okay, January 17th.
All right. And it's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. Doors open at 5. Our flyers on both our Facebook page, several other group Facebook pages, as well as our website. The deadline for online registration is going to be next Wednesday at 6 p.m. And this particular venue is kind of particular about head counts, so we had to have a cutoff date of a week in advance. And so we're urging people to not wait. Don't do the old, you know, I'll just show up at the door and pay scenario, because that's going to really affect whether we have this forum or not. If we don't have a good head count by next Wednesday, we may end up, you know, having to postpone or cancel the whole thing. So,
okay.
Yeah, and by the way, if I can jump in, Hugo, I've been to one of these that you guys, the Colorado Hispanic Republicans, hosted before, and you guys sold out. So if you want to come on that night and try to get seats, good luck with that. You're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, well, the one that you're referring to, Andy, was a smaller venue. This one's a pretty good-sized venue. It will hold up to 500. We
Great.
Don't need 500 to come. You know, we have set kind of a bar of at least 100 folks to make it viable. So I think we're about halfway there right now. So we just want to make sure that people understand that, and please sign up in advance.
Okay.
Jimmy Sangenberger is going to be our moderator. He did one for us before, and he did a really good job. So we're going to be formulating the questions based on feedback from each of the campaigns. We've asked them to provide us their top three issues.
Okay.
And then we will take those and formulate the questions. The format is going to be basically the same. You know, each candidate would a set time period to do an opening statement, and then we would enter into the question session.
Okay.
That sounds too reasonable. I like mudslinging. I want some chairs being thrown. Are you sure you can't spice this up a little?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing that in the responses there will be some whether they call that double entendres and kind of under the breath references to other candidates.
Okay.
So we'll deal with it.
Make sure I'm following you correctly, Hugo. You got all of your funding handled, taken care of. That was all done. You went out and found other sponsors that were willing to do this based upon all the candidates being there.
Right.
Okay.
We didn't go find the alternate sponsor. Ray Garcia did.
Got it.
Some other Tom Tancredo supporters. And I want to dispel this little notion that's been going around on Facebook as well, that this is somehow a ransom or a pay-to-play type scenario, because we're supposedly charging Tom to to be a part of the forum. That's not what happened. We didn't ask for that. We basically accepted the alternative scenario that was offered to us that said, if we can find another sponsor to put up the money to replace this other sponsor, you include Tom. And we said yes. So it's not a pay-to-play. It's basically a replacement of the original sponsor.
Okay, so dumb question on my part, being, you know, just a talk show host that's not real, you know, much of a brainiac here. Why would a sponsor not want Tom in the forum in the first place?
That's the reasons I was given is just that they don't feel he's the candidate, the right candidate for this race, and past history of Tom and that particular individual. So there are several factors. I don't know if you guys read. Personally, I don't have anything against Tom. Okay, I want to put that out there clearly. But I personally don't believe he's the candidate that we need to put up in this race either. So, but that's my personal thing. That's not a official.
Agree. No, okay. Yeah. No. I follow you. In fact, you know, Andy and I several weeks ago went through sort of a similar list and just kind of, you know, rattled off all of the particular candidates that are running now, and I made my opinion very clear on that particular show. Anybody that wants to can go back and listen to the podcast. I went through each particular candidate and said, you know, electable, non-electable, blah, 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 in my list is there. And I won't rehash that right now because I have no vendettas against anyone. I just go back to what Andy and I were talking about in the last hour, which is how do we win the governorship of Colorado? And if we don't put forth the right candidate, we're going to lose.
Right. And in our position, you know, I've analyzed this thing thoroughly, and the winning candidate is going to have to be someone that can draw not only the base of the Republican Party, but also crossover votes from Democrat, conservative Democrats, and independents.
Agree.
And all you have to do is look at the last presidential election, and we actually took Pueblo County, okay? That was a blue county, and that required a lot of Democrats to cross over and vote for Trump. So Trump won Pueblo because specifically of his message and the fact that people got tired of being told that, you know, they weren't going to vote for Trump, you know, I'm referring right now to the Hispanic vote, because for the full year prior to the election, I was on Telemundo and other Spanish talk radios espousing that the very reason why Trump was going to win, and all the predictions were for Trump to get about 5% of the Hispanic vote. And I would just, you know, kind of brush that aside. They'd ask me, well, what is your opinion? How much is he going to get? And I said, all along, 30 to 35% of the Hispanic vote is what he was going to get. And he ended up getting 30%. And they were laughing at me the times that I would say that.
Got it.
On election night, I had the last laugh.
Hey, Hugo, two quick questions here. First of all, everybody knows you have to have funders, otherwise you don't have the event. You had a funder who dropped out was going to drop out because of Tom. Did you have funders that said they would drop out because of any other candidate?
No.
Okay, so therefore, that would explain why Tom's situation was unique to the other candidates in maybe having to help find a funder to replace the lost funding. So that part I understand. That's not a problem. Here's my second question, and it's really the biggie. What do we have to do to reach Hispanics in Colorado? What do you want to see from our candidate, maybe in their views or their approach, that will help us reach Hispanics in Colorado?
Well, I think, in my opinion, the successful candidate should be one that follows Trump's blueprint almost to the T, because he spoke to the people across all lines and talked about the economy, talked about jobs, talked about, in this case in Colorado, our big one is energy, and mm-hmm. we both know mm-hmm. that the Democrat is going to be opposing energy. I think we could use that as a good tool, because the devastation that would occur in the state economically if energy was shut down, we all know what that is. So that's going to be one big one. And, of course, not only that, but it employs a huge number of Hispanics in the energy industry.
It really does.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a little known fact. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. But
no, I agree.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. No, it is. You're right.
The Hispanics that are working in that industry know it, and they will oppose any Democrat that is going to try to shut down the energy industry.
Okay.
So that's a big one. That's a big wedge issue that we could use. But basically just talking to the people about the issues that are important to them. Now, you guys were talking to that gentleman about the, you know, the pro-life position, et cetera.
Right.
And I don't agree with his assertion that a pro-life person can't win. What I do agree with is that we don't need to make it a banner issue.
Agree.
A pro-life candidate can still be pro-life and run.
I agree.
And address other top issues.
Hugo, that you and I are in total agreement on that one. Fully agree. Real quick, before we move on, I got to do a break in a minute, so I'll let you go, Hugo. But before we do that, Andy's got a comment, and yet I want to also make sure that people can get registered for this event. Where do they go to do that?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page or our website, www.ColoradoHispanicRepublicans.org.
Okay.
Flyers are flying around, a lot of the different organizations as well. We just want to make sure that people get on board and do the online registration prior to 6 p.m. next Wednesday.
Okay, and I just wanted to toss in the earlier caller, just so you know, he was talking about his district, which is far more left, far more
than most.
To the left. Yeah, and so do I believe a pro-life candidate can win in Colorado? The answer is absolutely.
I agree.
But it depends on how they message it.
I agree. Hugo, I appreciate you calling in. And anything else that comes up, please let us know. And just real quick as a side note, the only reason Hugo didn't ask me to moderate that was because I'm out of town. No, just kidding, Hugo.
Well, John is too expensive.
Thanks,
he's too expensive.
That's right.
Appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Hugo. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Bristlecone Shooting Range. And I should say, really, not just a shooting range, anything you need when it comes to shooting. So the gun, the accessories, the training, the time on the range, targets, you name it, all the ancillary things, they are there. And it's in a great, inviting, warm, welcoming, not the secret handshake sort of a thing. You just walk in, they're going to invite you in. You can, if you become a member, you can reserve lanes ahead of time. Tuesday nights are free shooting for ladies, so it's ladies' night, no lane charges. So lots of cool things going on. I encourage you to stop by. They're just off of 6th Avenue and Union, 303-985-0989, bristleconeshooting.com. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
When Jacqueline and Brian Clark opened Bristlecone Shooting in 2015, they intentionally created an inviting atmosphere where all levels of shooters would feel comfortable. Jacqueline knew from experience that gun shops tended to be boys' clubs, and she wanted to offer women the chance to take classes, develop their shooting skills, and enjoy the sport of shooting. In order to provide a facility where beginners would feel at ease, Jacqueline and Brian invested in a state-of-the-art HVAC system that recycles the air every 90 seconds so you never smell the gunpowder. You won't feel out of place or intimidated because Jacqueline and Brian hire all of their own instructors and they personally train their retail employees to greet you warmly when you come in the door. Visit Bristlecone Shooting on West Cedar Drive in Lakewood and see for yourself that this isn't your grandfather's shooting range. John Rush remains confident that you will feel welcome at Bristlecone Shooting.
All right, Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com. If you find yourself in a pickle, legally speaking, you may need Kevin's services. In fact, it could be for a car accident, could be for a DUI, whether you're involved in one yourself or hit by one. You can have Kevin on your side and representing you. He is trial-tested, trial-ready. Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com, 303-806-8886. Call him today and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Okay, turn here. Well, watch it.
During the moment when you're in a serious car accident, you aren't thinking about who's at fault.
Oh no, what if I never hear my kids laugh again?
You're not thinking about hospital bills or insurance claims.
What if I never hear my husband say I love you again?
I changed your oil.
And you're not thinking about police reports or who your lawyer should be.
I never thought this would happen to me.
In the split second when you're in a car accident, you're thinking about the most important things in life. When you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886. Kevin will help you determine who's at fault, what to say to the insurance company, and who will help pay for your hospital bills, so you can get back to thinking about the important things. That's Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, Party of Choice. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. Charlie just came in a moment ago and asked you a particular question about, does Melania and Donald sleep in the same bedroom in the White House? And frankly, I don't know. And frankly, I don't care.
I don't have a clue. I've never thought about it.
If I was Melania, now I'd be a lot better looking, first of all, if I was.
Yes, you would.
I'm not. But if I were, knowing the hours that he keeps and the amount of interruptions that that guy is going to have, I would have my own bedroom. How about you, Andy?
I could understand it. I don't know. I'm fine with it. Either way, how's that?
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I'm just saying, if they do, why do I care? I mean, the left is trying to make this an issue, but frankly, I don't care.
You know, and here's another thing, John. When you're talking about really wealthy people, beds are used for two things, okay? Sleeping and, you know, relations, as it were. You don't have to sleep in the same bed to enjoy the second one. And so, you know, when you're talking about two people with vastly different schedules, right, like you were saying, that would really conflict, and it'd really be a problem with being able to sleep. Sure, I could see that. I don't care either way.
And there's a lot of people that I know, I'm not going to name names, but when you start getting into your, let's say, late 50s, early 60s, and of course that's where Trump is even older than that, there's a lot of folks that do separate bedrooms just because of snoring, breathing, CPAP machines. I can go on, you know, schedules that they keep. I can go down the line. That doesn't mean they're not happily married. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know, Bill Clinton.
Well, he had a different kind of bedroom.
Yeah. the Oval bedroom.
With lots of other people in it besides Hillary.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
That's a different situation.
Bill Clinton was like every other man in America. He had a bedroom that wasn't he had a bed that wasn't shared by Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. anyways.
Getting back
to our topic at hand. Go ahead.
I want to ask you, what do you look... You know, because we're talking about the balance, right? Right now, you know, this is a blue-leaning state, but does that mean you have to have a big compromiser, or a firebrand isn't going to sell, right? But a compromiser is going to be two pale pastels. They're not going to show the difference between themselves and the Democrat candidate, right? They're going to come out and just be a weak version of the Democrat. That's probably not going to sell too well either. Right. I think Hugo makes a great point. Emphasize energy. I think that's a huge selling point and a winning point for us. Oil and gas exploration here in Colorado. Big job creator. People are going to like it. What do you think, John, we should look for in our candidate? I mean, because we've got these candidates coming up. What do you think is going to sell
in the state of Colorado? When we start, and you and I've had this conversation, so we'll continue it in Colorado. My opinion. It's my opinion only, but I think I've got a pretty decent opinion when it comes to these sorts of things after studying it, reading about it daily, you know, watching everything that happened in the Trump campaign and so on and so forth. I think I got a pretty good idea of what we need here in Colorado. Number one, I don't think we're going to be able to have somebody that's divisive. Sorry. If I was to run for governor, I wouldn't win. I'm too divisive.
Okay.
Some of the things I've even said on air, they'd go pull those things back out. They'd continue to replay them over and over again. You know, my competitors would, and I would lose. Now,
I'd vote for you. I mean, I wouldn't tell anyone.
Well, there's the problem.
Yeah, I'd hide it.
Yeah, okay. So you'd be a closet voter.
Oh, absolutely.
Got it.
But
got
you would
it.
Have
closet
my
John
vote.
Rush voter. There
still
you go.
My
there
vote.
You go.
Okay. Go
anyways,
ahead.
I use that as an example just to say that even people like me that are going to stand pretty firm on certain things and even compromise in other things, which I would do, by the way, I'm probably not electable just because of my hardcore stance on certain things and what I've said on air.
Does that mean we have to have a squish?
No, it doesn't. What we need, though, is somebody that will stand by principles that also understand that you have to compromise on certain things to get to the end goal, much like we talked about during the last hour. Which one of those candidates is that? You and I have gone through that list. We've talked about it. And which one of them is? You know what? I'll tell you in a little bit down the road. As soon as I start hearing from some of them and what some of their messaging is and how I feel like they're approaching their campaigns and so on, I will tell you which one I think at that point can win or lose. I know there's certain individuals right now that, frankly, I've already heard some of their messaging, just need to go away.
Right.
They're noise. They're white noise right now. They're not helping our cause in Colorado in winning this next gubernatorial race. They're just not going to help us get there. What are their names? I'm not going to rattle them off right now because, frankly, there's too many other things going on. I'm just not going to go there. You and I went through that list already.
Right.
I also don't want somebody that is a squish, and I don't think you need to be a squish. In fact, I think Donald Trump proved you don't have to be a squish and win. Now, do we need a Donald Trump to win in Colorado? No. In fact, I think Donald Trump in Colorado won't win. I think he's right. Too far, you know, too insulting, too hard. Not right's not even the right word. He's just too abrasive for this particular state to win. Now, can somebody like him that's willing to call a spade win? Absolutely.
Yeah, people love a straight shooter.
Exactly. Somebody that's willing to call Polis, because I think you're going to win. You're going to run against Polis. Somebody needs to call out Polis on some of the stupid things he's done over the years, his global warming nonsense, on and on we go. You need somebody that's willing to stand up and call some of those things out and then talk about the important things in this state, which right now aren't jobs, by the way. You don't need to run in the state and talk about how you're going to bring jobs to the state. They're already here. We have really, really low unemployment. In fact, if you're going to do anything, talk to the employers about how you're going to bring people in that will fill the positions we now have open. It's opposite of what you're going to have to do countrywide, because here in the state of Colorado, we have great economic growth.
So
we don't have
enough
workers.
So what's the big issue?
Roads, transportation. How are you going to fix things along those lines? Our health care issues in the state, Medicaid, the expansion of, all those sorts of things. PARA, which is a big, big deal. Those sorts of things are the things that the next one or the next governor of Colorado is going to have to run on and then fix once he gets in, he or she gets in.
Let me tell you what I think. Can I tell you what the approach is that
Go ahead.
I think? Okay. It's very, very simple. You cannot come at the people of Colorado representing your base and say, and just saying, I'm here for my base. I am a Christian, constitutional, conservative, whatever. Here's why. Even though you may be a wonderful person who cares about everybody.
Yeah, you can't run on that.
Right. Because here's why. They're going to think you're not for our liberty. You're not for everyone's liberty.
I wouldn't
run on
that.
You're only here to defend the liberties of your base.
Yeah.
You have to. It's what's in it for me. You've got to look at these voters and you've got to bring conservative principles. Yes. But you must sell them to the voters in a way that says, this is what this principle does for you. This is what that does for
Which
you.
Which I think, and again, in this state, one of the things that I think needs to happen in this particular state is we all know, and I think the voting base, the majority of the voting base would vote for this particular candidate. You tell us how we're going to funnel the right money into our roads, get us back on track transportation-wise. And I'm not talking bike paths and light rail and all the other crap that doesn't work. I'm talking regular roads that get us from A to B. Tell me, as a voter, how you're going to help me in my commute every day. You've won this election.
I would add something to it. I agree with that, but I would also warn them of what happens if we go the other way. If we have policies like Jared Polis wants, you have California, you have Detroit, you have Baltimore, you have Chicago, okay? Because because we look at, in all of those places, they had high times, right?
Yep.
Liberal politicians came in, all proposing exactly to the letter what Jared Polis proposes, and now those are places people escape to come here. Do you want the stuff that built those places to success or the stuff that tore them down?
No, I want the stuff that built them to success.
Okay, it's very simple.
Yep.
Jared Polis will churn us into Detroit-a-fornia.
That's exactly right.
Okay, that's what he's going to turn us into.
No, you're right. You are 100% correct. And so what we need is a candidate willing to step up, point those things out. And I'll be honest with you, Andy, not run on things that a lot of the right probably feel like they should run on. And I'm going to go along with Bruce a little bit here. As much as I am pro-life, and you know I am, I'll go on my deathbed for it. I wouldn't run on that.
No.
That would not be my number one thing I run on my in my particular. If I was running, John Wesch was running, that would not be something I ran on.
Right. I would say, look, I'm pro-life. I don't want all of my views to be your laws. Look, the fact is you don't have roads that are in good shape that can accommodate the growth. You don't have the things that you need. Okay. Now, am I pro-life? Yes, absolutely. Guess what? A lot of people here are pro-choice too. We got to work together. The question is, are you going to have a governor who's going to pit one side against the other like Jared Polis, who's going to treat pro-lifers?
Are we
going to
have somebody bring them together?
Or are you going to have somebody who loves them all?
So are you going to be my campaign manager? What are we doing here?
Oh, I'm there. How well, what's the pay?
I have no idea.
It's got to be outrageous.
As many candidates as there are, I should call Hugo and say I'm going to join.
There you go.
I'll just show up at the forum. I'm just kidding. We'll come right back. U.S. Gold Coin is coming up next, and you can have wealth insurance, really, in this time where we know there's going to be inflation coming down the road. We know it. You're going to see GDP increase. With that comes inflation. You can stave that off with gold and silver. USGoldCoins.com is the place to get that. 800-468-2646. Call them now and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Andy Goss from U.S. Gold Coins wants you to think about collecting gold and silver coins as wealth insurance. You have car insurance just in case you're in an accident, and health insurance just in case you get sick. It makes sense to have wealth insurance just in case something happens and you can't access your money from the banks. That's why, as a KLZ listener, Andy is offering to give you his CD, How to Protect Your Wealth, for free. All you have to do is call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. This CD teaches you everything you need to know about how to use gold and silver coins to protect your wealth in any situation and introduce you to the fun and lucrative world of collecting valuable coins. This offer also includes a free copy of The Guide to U.S. Coins, basically the Bible for coin collectors. Start on your way to a secure future with wealth insurance in the form of beautiful, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Join us every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. Each week, we'll bring you local outfitters and experts on how to make your next outdoor adventure a success. Looking for a place to hunt on your own? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. And we'll also get you ready for the upcoming big game season. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1, right here on KLZ 560.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, Party of Choice. And just responding to some emails of listeners that are emailing in about our topics today. So this is a hot button,
What
Andy.
Are they saying?
Well, basically that...
That we're evil?
No, that, you know... Basically looking for what candidate they feel can actually get us across that finish line. And everybody's going to have a different opinion, especially those that are on the inside baseball end of things. They're all going to have a different opinion as to who can win or not win. I think what I need to let people understand, what I want to get people to understand that are on the far right, those that are in the inside baseball end of things, is stop looking at it through your eyes.
Right.
Start looking at it through the eyes of the other voters, the not-so-hardcore Republicans, the independents, and even some of the moderate Democrats that are out there, and how do we get them to vote for a candidate? Stop looking at it through your lens and look at it through theirs. If you do, I think you guys are going to pick a different candidate.
The worst thing you can do when you've got to get 51% of the votes from a diverse crowd of people, the worst thing you can do is say, my number one thing is I want a candidate who agrees with me the most. I mean, think about how stupid that is. Yep. Okay. It's got to be somebody who agrees with me the most. No, you want somebody who can advance the most of your positions in this setting. Okay.
Agree.
If you do not choose that, then you're going to lose. Now, you can go the other way too far, right? And say, I just want to win no matter what. And so I'm going to nominate John McCain in Arizona, and I'm going to have none of my positions be advanced, or very few of them, right? Well, that's foolish too. So the question is, how many of your positions can you have effectively advanced in the setting called Colorado? All of them? No.
No. No. In fact, if you get two or three done, good luck.
Right. Right.
So pick your top two or three and run on them.
Yeah. And
by the way, some of those are neutral. Roads, for example. Everybody hates our roads.
Yeah.
Right, left, Republican, independent, Democrat, far left, far right. Well, if you're far left, you might not be using the roads, but you get my drift.
Right.
The majority of the people that are voting are driving.
Yes.
And they hate the way we're doing it right now.
Yes.
So find a substantial way to fix that and run on it.
Yeah. Look, the simple thing is this. I would look, if you're just looking at topics, I think they're pretty simple. Roads and bridges, those are big. People want more lanes.
Yes.
Folks.
They want lane miles.
Number two, energy.
Energy is a big one here in Colorado.
Because of all the ads that have been run, there is big acceptance right now for oil and gas development.
Yep.
And Polis is going to hurt himself with that if you have somebody who knows how to message it.
Yep.
Yeah. Third thing is liberty. This is a libertarian state.
Agreed.
It really is. So people want to know, are you for my liberties or only those of your pet group? And with Polis, you can nail him
It's going to be the pet group.
Yes.
He's already proven. He's got a track record that way.
Yeah, he wants two gay people to marry, but then he wants them to tell this this baker what to sell. Okay, that hurts him.
I agree.
That really hurts him. So,
how does immigration fit in, or does it here in Colorado, or is it even a big issue?
It is a big issue. It's a very big issue, and the way to approach immigration, and by the way, I think we're going to get an immigration deal that's going to work very well in Washington. The Dreamers are going to get theirs. They are, okay, but we're going to get a lot of stuff we're going to love at the border.
Okay.
The way to approach immigration is very simply this. Every house has a door.
Yep, lock it.
Right. America has to have you want a door at your home where you can decide who comes in and out.
That's right.
If America doesn't have that, how can it be a home for anyone?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Well said. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back, finish things up. We got time for one more call if you want to do it, 303-477-5600. Otherwise, we'll close the show out as soon as we come back and get our last little bit in. Bruce Simmons coming up next, our reverse mortgage specialist. Some of you are of the age where you can benefit from a reverse mortgage. I don't know if you can. You probably don't know if you can, but somebody that I know does is Bruce Simmons. He can meet with you, tell you exactly what to do. He's neutral. He's just going to lay it out and tell you whether you're a good candidate or not. ReverseMortgageRadio.net, 303-467-7821. Call him now and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Bruce Simmons, KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, conducts business in person because you, the homeowner, deserve to understand the process. Bruce gladly meets you in your own home, at a local restaurant, or wherever you prefer so that you may ask questions in a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Your reverse mortgage allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into cash, potentially increasing your retirement resources by hundreds of thousands of dollars. You must interact face-to-face with your lender in order to fully grasp how the loan works. After dealing exclusively in reverse mortgages for nearly 15 years, Bruce knows that a phone conversation does not provide the same sense of security, and Bruce wants you to feel entirely at ease while you explore the details of your unique loan. Call 303-467-7821 to schedule a meeting with KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist. You will make a decision with complete confidence because you speak directly with Bruce.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, Party of Choice. Dan Muir out driving around. Appreciate all that Dan does for us. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. Ann Muir, producer Ann, I should say, doing a great job for us behind the scenes. And really, everybody that you hear come on a regular basis is because of Ann and all the work that she does. So I appreciate all that she does for us behind the scenes. So real quick, Andy, what movies are next week?
Oh, my goodness. I don't
do you know
it in
yet?
Front of me. No, I don't. I wish I did. I wish I knew that was coming. I apologize.
I'm sorry. I didn't have to just spring it on you. I should have asked you during the break, I guess.
Keep talking for a moment and I'll bring it up.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay, I can do that. So again, those of you that maybe this last hour, you're thinking, you know, you guys have hit on some things that I really haven't thought through. And what I'll tell you is you can listen to any of our shows. Our first hour, of course, replays between 6 and 7 p.m. every day. For those of you that miss anything else throughout the show, though, you can always go to our podcast and find them there, soundcloud.com/Rush to Reason. Find them right on our website, rushtoreason.com, or you can go to Facebook Live, facebook.com/Rush to Reason, and you can actually watch us, view us, and see us all there, and go back in and just scroll through and pick out the different things that you want to listen to, whether that's a movie review or Andy and I debating and talking about what's going on in our Colorado GOP and the governorship.
Yep.
All that and more.
And I have some movies.
Let's hear it.
Okay, I'm not going to go to the Post. There's just no...
Okay, what is the Post?
Okay, the Post is a hard... is going to be a hard
Well, that's
left.
The one about the newspaper, right? The Washington Post, right?
And that's with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
That's going to be hard left, right?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely
brutal,
raging,
right?
Brutal, hard left. And it gets to a point...
You can almost see that in the previews.
Yeah, and it gets to a point where you just say, look, our market, our listeners aren't going to want to watch it. It's just pointless for me to even look at it.
Got it. So why waste your time?
Right. I will go to see The Commuter. It's starring Liam Neeson.
Oh, that one looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, another
That's the one where he's on the train.
He's always in a
somebody
tense
walks,
thriller.
Yes, yeah, somebody walks up and says, hey, if you go do such and such, such and such, underneath the seat in front of you is a gazillion dollars.
Right.
All you got to do is kill somebody.
And it looks very interesting.
It does.
And by the way, I love Liam Neeson. So
that should be decent.
Yes. I'm not sure about the second movie. I might actually bring myself to see the second Paddington Bear. It's a kid movie. Yeah, but you got to know what movies are safe for kids. Right? Am I going to bring my kid to a movie that's going to make him walk out a Marxist? Okay, you know what I mean?
Paddington is a bear.
Paddington, yeah. So Paddington 2, I may look at that.
Is it like a cartoon or animated?
No,
or what is it?
No, it's live action, but they have the bear actually able to, you know, a lot of CGI with the bear. I don't know. I may go look at that.
So creepy bear that talks.
Hopefully I can think of something else to go to and save myself. But I may go see that for the sake of the parents.
The Commuter sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, The Commuter I'm definitely going to. The Post, anyone who is foolish enough to go to a movie where, that is simply going to spend 2 hours barraging you for voting for Trump and being a... Well,
yeah, why would you go and do that?
I don't know. I mean, a movie that is absolutely going... This one, you know, Nixon is the most evil man alive and all this kind of... It's just not worth it. I mean, it gets to a point where...
So is it kind of recapping some of what happened with Watergate and all that, or what?
Vietnam.
This is Charlie says Vietnam. Oh, Pentagon Papers. Okay.
Right.
Pentagon Papers.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it's going to be carried out by them. I'm sorry. These people...
Got it.
Nixon's president at the time.
I'm not a crook. I am not a crook. Not a crook.
If you're watching me on Facebook Live, you can see that. Anyway.
Exactly.
All right. There you go. So that's all next week. All right. We will be back tomorrow. I will be, I should say. Drive Radio 10 to 1 right here on KLZ 560. Charlie will be here with me as well as I think, I don't know, we'll do Facebook Live. All the rest of the stuff will happen as well tomorrow. Outside of that, we'll be back on Monday, same time, same place. Andy Pate, Party of Choice, thanks as always. Really appreciate it.
Good to be here.
It's always fun on Fridays. So we'll be back on Monday. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. I'm John Rush, KLZ 560.